Well, this is not a joke, or we're not fools, but it's April Fools, April 1st, 2020. And this is the Enriching Gifts Education Call. We're very fortunate this evening to have our special host. He's not even a guest. He's the founder, formulator, the everything for Enriching Gifts, the blood, the sweat, the tears, the vision. And so each and every week he joins us, and we're super, grateful and very excited about all of the information that he delivers to us. So I want to welcome Mr. Ron Schneider to the call, and just really grateful for all that you do, and look forward to an exciting call this evening. So Ron Schneider, welcome to the call.
Thank you, Dober. Really appreciate it. And again, I'd like to welcome everybody on the call this evening. And I was going to play a prank on everybody for April 1st. I'm kind of a prankster, but I guess Dober said, nope, there's none of that, so I'm not going to do that. So anyways, welcome everybody. As we all know, there's still coronavirus stuff all over national TV. This week has been an extraordinary stroll down memory lane for me. I actually got a call from the former USAIDS ambassador that I traveled all over the entire continent of Africa with. He called me up asking me some opinions about stuff related to coronavirus. Also had the main importer and distributor in Nigeria for the Enriching Gifts products over there for the HIV/AIDS epidemic, and I haven't heard from a lot of people in a lot of decades. I mean, it's been all the way back to 2006, 2005, 2004, 1994, 1995, 6, 7, for the whole South Africa and the AIDS epidemic in Africa. So it's been a fascinating week for me, and it's still we're able to communicate around the world, even with the COVID-19 being every single second on every single program on national television. And I know we're all feeling the effects of it, because more and more, every day that goes by, the government is implementing more and more restrictions on our ability to move, even outside of our front doors. So that's becoming a challenge even for me. But I do want to talk a little bit about this tonight, because I just had a conversation today with State Senator Stephen Daines out of Montana. And my question for the call was, why are more pharmaceutical companies and drug companies not implementing the antibodies that cured the Ebola epidemic here in America? If you want to call it an epidemic, there was only four people that were ever really infected, and they never did develop a vaccine. As far as I know, they still don't have a vaccine for Ebola, and that was several years ago. But what did work, and you hear a lot of conversation popping up on national TV the last 48 hours, about the antibodies from the people that have caught the virus, actually survived and healed themselves, got rid of all the symptoms because their body's immune system developed the antibodies that destroyed the virus. And so just like Ebola, why are we not using that right now in this moment to save people's lives? We know this works. We know this is extremely safe. We know how to do this with existing blood work. And it's easy for people to go down and donate blood that have actually gotten cured, if you will, their immune system cured themselves, and produced antibodies to get rid of the virus. Why is it so hard to do that right now? It's the cheapest way to do it. It's very effective. And he didn't have an answer for me. And I'm very disappointed, because this is keeping all of us entrapped in our homes right now. I'm lucky I live in Montana. I can still go out and about freely up and down the streets, like my daughter that lives down in Amarillo, Texas, like my wife's family that lives over in the Philippines. And I don't know about too many other parts of the world, but it's becoming crazy. Italy, Greece, France, everybody is completely locked down. You can't even go out to your front door to get groceries anymore. You'll be arrested or fined $1,000. That's how crazy this has gotten right now as of today. And, I still, just for the heck of me, cannot figure out why these medical people, if this really is such an epidemic and a crisis and 240,000 people could possibly die from this, why they aren't using something that's already proven and so easily accessible. It's easy to strain antibodies from the blood system of a donor. It's easy to do that. And there's very, very, very little risk of any kind of a negative side effect or an injection of a foreign protein into a human body. The immune system would attack the antibody just like it does anything else. But the antibodies are designed to attack specifically the coronavirus. They have specific proteins that antibody knows exactly what to go after. And as I'm watching TV today, total fatalities in America are a little over 4,000 people. And again, that's nowhere near 30,000, 40,000 people. So again, the hysteria doesn't match up with the facts. But this is one thing that if anybody is worried about this, truly worried about corona, somehow having the ability to take your life, even your mother and your father, which are the most vulnerable and at risk in this whole epidemic thing, antibodies. Ask your medical professional what kind of treatment availability does a hospital in which your mother, your father, your kids, you yourself, or whatever, ask for the antibodies. Because this is well known. This is talked about by Dr. Oz and Dr. Fauci, who is every single day with President Trump. I don't get it. This thing should be well over. We should all be able to get back to our daily lives. So, and I've been saying for weeks, this is nothing to worry about. There's nothing to worry about. And I still want to say and reiterate a very strong, this really isn't that much to worry about. Outside, it's not that much different than the normal influenza and flu that kills on average 39,000 people for the last decade in America every single year. These are facts. These are verifiable. Look them up from the CDC and the World Health Organization or the Institutes of Health. Any one of those three, you can find American statistics, death from annual influenza, SARS, Spanish flu, H1N1, H1N5, all of these different, these are basically coronas too. SARS, a lot of people don't know that. That was a coronavirus. H1N5, H1N3, H1N2, those were all three coronaviruses in different years because of mutation. So this is the kind of stuff that I want people to calm down about. And hopefully if you get facts rather than all this propaganda stuff that's being perpetuated all over the internet and even on national television and news channels, this isn't nearly as bad as what everybody's making it out to be. But with respect to me saying it's not as bad as, well, it's not as bad as annual influenza. That's what it's not as bad as. Now, one person losing their life is a tragedy. But that's the world we live in, folks. These are the facts. You know, there's tens of thousands of people. There's hundreds of thousands of people that die every single year worldwide from influenza, from the common cold. But the coronas, they are a more deadly type of a virus rather than influenza. Think of the basketballs, nice smooth edges all the way around it. And that's the influenza. That's the normal influenza. So it had, and it's airborne. That's another big thing that nobody is talking about. Everybody keeps talking about the cough, sending it 27 feet in the air, and it can last for up to 3 hours. Well, the influenza is a natural airborne virus because it's so small. It's molecular weight. There's virtually nothing to it. So it is airborne. It can actually stay in the air for literally days, not hours. And the difference between a normal influenza virus is the membrane, the actual outer membrane of that protein. An influenza is much, much smaller, and therefore it's lighter weight, but it's smooth. It really doesn't have any way to attach itself as it comes in contact with human tissue. It doesn't have any way to attach itself. It's smooth, so a lot of what we come in contact simply just goes right on through us. Whereas a corona actually has tentacles or extensions from the surface. And that's what makes it so contagious and deadly. Because it has all kinds of little tentacles that can attach to different parts of tissue as we come in contact with it. And it does have a higher death rate. You can look at any of the statistics around the world. It does have a higher death rate for the people that are actually affected or infected with the coronavirus. They actually become sick because of it. It has about a 1.5 to 2%, whereas the influenza has about 1/100th or 1/1000th of 1%. So there is a risk factor there, but it doesn't warrant all of this craziness. Not my opinion, it's going all over national television. The fact you can't even walk out your front door anymore to do anything without getting arrested is just crazy, especially here in small town Montana. There's so much space between me and my neighbor in the next town, it's not even funny. So I'm getting a little bit strained by sitting there being isolated at home. But that's the one thing I just wanted to talk just very briefly about, with some of these things that are being misrepresented on national news to play into the ratings and the hype and stuff, some of the misinformation that's actually out on the internet. And the one thing is, now we're coming into spring. You know, it doesn't take much moisture to come in contact with viruses to pour them to the ground. And they're not going to all of a sudden be airborne once it dries out. So just the rainy season, if you will, the spring rains and stuff, that's going to take a lot of those viruses that might be hanging around on surfaces or even in the air for that 3 hours, and it's going to drop them all to the ground. So that's going to bring us a little bit of relief, just the fact that it's springtime. And then the fact that it dries out, drying as the temperature rises and stuff, that can also break apart the virus, just with the temperature. Just kind of like a wet, moist little molecule dries out and it falls apart. So these are things that are coming in right as we speak. We've got probably 6 inches of snow last night in Montana, right here in Miles City, and we've got snowing and raining all day long today and tomorrow. And I see next week they have 3 out of 7 days where there's an 80% or higher rain. So a lot of stuff is going to bring relief. It's not going to make it worse. It's going to actually bring relief, at least here in the Montana and most of the Northwest. So that's a little bit of a godsend. But the other thing I want to talk about tonight is, okay, so we're going to live with this. And news is already telling us this is going to come back again this fall. Whether it is reality or not, they're going to make it a big thing. They're already telling us on national television, all you got to do is look. Yep, it's going to come back this fall and probably even into next spring. And it's the same one we're dealing with now, but because it's going to mutate, we're going to be dealing with this probably for the next 5 to 7 years is what they're saying. This is all on national television. And I don't buy into or believe much of it, because just like I was telling the senator this morning when I talked on their conference line, you know, I'm an immunoenzymologist. I know all about the immune system, what it's capable of, what it's not, in these epidemics and this kind of stuff. And I just, for the life of me, can't understand when there's such an easy solution as human antibodies, and everybody that survived the coronavirus, and there's over 78% of all people that became ill or even had symptoms of the corona flu or the virus, they've all completely cured themselves. So all of these people, far, 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 far more than that they're sick right now, have actually recovered and have the antibodies in their bloodstream right now. And there's no reason why we can't strain those out and inject them into the most severe and sickest people. And you don't have to worry about them dying or having reactions. They're antibodies. They're only going to do one thing, and they're going to do one thing only. They're designed to go right after the coronavirus and dissolve it. So that was the thing that I want to talk about, coronavirus, and I'm done talking about that. I've been talking about that just 24 hours a day from the last week's call that we had. And it's really concerning and upsetting a whole lot of people, and I think half of it is anxiety from being locked up. But the other thing I want to tell you about is, okay, if you really are that worried about it and it is becoming an issue in your community or country that you live in, what do I do about it? And I always said, I'll never worry about a disease or illness. I don't care what it is, whether it's cancer, whether it's herpes, whether it's malaria, whether it's common cold or flu or corona. I'm not worried about any of that stuff because I have a bulletproof immune system. And there's ways that everybody can build and create a bulletproof immune system. We have glucosides now readily available in product called Sterilmat. We have the immune system, or the digestive enzymes, which keeps the bloodstream extremely clean of circulating proteins from our meal, poorly digested muscle tissue, like your beef, your chicken, your turkey, your pork. All those things get in the bloodstream poorly digested, and they suppress your immune system, and they'll even go as far as totally inhibiting your immune system to function the way it's designed to. And that's when you get sick and diseased and all this other stuff starts to occur, when your immune system becomes compromised, regardless of what the compromising factor is, but it's compromised in its ability to function the way it should be able to function. And almost every single disease or illness is linked to that. Because we did grew up as a fairly healthy person, then there's an absolute reason, very, very good reason, why and how your body stopped working from an immune system perspective, and how you got a disease and illness now that you live with as part of your daily life. There is a reason behind all of this stuff. And that's why I do these calls, so that people can find out what they can do outside of drugs and the medical community. There are things you can do for yourself. Quit waiting on a doctor. Quit waiting until you get sick. Do things proactively. That's one thing that this country severely lacks when I travel all over the rest of the world. You go to Japan, the first hour you're in Japan, you work out. You're even given money as part of your paycheck for supplements, for nutrition, things of that nature. And that's not just Japan. That's the Netherlands, Switzerland, Sweden. I can go all around the world, and there's all kinds of countries, Denmark, that are very proactive. They're all about keeping people healthy rather than spending healthcare dollars and system on, well, we got to have people sick in order to support the system. We're the leading edge of that kind of mentality. Let's get everybody sick so we can support a system. And the rest of the world is mostly proactive. Let's prevent disease and illness, because that's actually more profitable for the rest of the entire country's job market and trade and all that other stuff. But here in a different America, we're different. We're very reactive rather than proactive. And there's a consequence to that. There's a lot of lives lost as a consequence to that, because we keep talking about all how our elderly over 65 are so vulnerable. You wouldn't find that conversation in Okinawa, Japan. You wouldn't find that conversation over in Switzerland, Sweden, or Denmark. You just wouldn't have that conversation. Because older people over there live well into their 90s and 100s, and most of them die, just don't wake up. They don't die from some horrific disease or illness. America's number one in the world for that. We're the most diseased, the sickest society in the entire populated world. Of any government that has health statistics, we lead the world number one as the sickest nation with more disease per capita person that lives in this country than any other country on the entire planet Earth. We're number one. And the sad part about that was, and if you listen to national news not more than a couple months ago, even Senator Lindsey Graham was talking about that. Even Bernie Sanders, our president running for president, right, he even brought up the fact we are the sickest nation in the entire country or in the entire world by disease statistics, and yet we spend more than two times more dollars per patient than any other country in the world. So we spend more than twice as much money as any other country in the world on our healthcare system, and yet what that produces is the sickest population in the entire planet Earth with disease and illness. Tell me how that actually works. Tell me how that is actually effective. But these are the facts. Those are absolute, honest, truthful facts. And I've known that from traveling all over the world because I've seen the rest of the world. And most people on this call and even that live here in the U.S. haven't had that opportunity to travel virtually every country in the entire world, whether it's developed, third world, second world, or modern and modernized. So getting back to your immune system, everybody's quality of life from the day you're born to the day you die, the quality of life that you're given to live through each and every day is determined mostly over 95% by one simple factor.
Hey.
The efficiency and the ability of the human immune system to function unimpeded, unimpaired. That's a fact. 95%. And the rest of that 5% is probably what you're going to put in your mouth as a food source to support bodily function, to support tissue recellular growth and things like that. That's your second factor. But by far, you can even live from a McDonald's diet, from a poor nutrition diet, from a less than a perfect diet. And if you've got a great immune system, that diet's not going to matter much, because when it gets the bloodstream, if it is loaded with chemicals, toxins, and poorly digested stuff, guess what? A good, strong immune system just digests it all up, breaks it down enzymatically, and eliminates it. So it doesn't become a problem. But the problem is, for every 10 years a person lives their life from birth to death, your body produces 8 to 10% less digestive enzymes for the digestion of your meal every day. And when your meal doesn't get fully digested, and then yet it's still small enough to be absorbed in the bloodstream, that's when you start creating problems. Because now you're having to make your immune system interact with that poorly digested food now that it's entering the bloodstream. And when your immune system has to interact with that, there's a whole bunch of bad actors and bacteria and fungus and candida and mold. All this stuff is going on and circulating in the background of your blood, raising all kinds of issues and problems throughout your body. And yet your immune system's first priority is get rid of that sticky mucusy protein that's a byproduct of poorly digested meat in your meal. That's priority number one for your immune system. And the other thing is that people start over the age of 35, 40 years old. By the time you hit 38 to 42, your body's over 50% less efficient in the digestive process because of lack of digestive enzymes. And that only gets worse and worse and worse for every decade you live beyond that. Remember, every 10 years, your body's going to produce 8 to 10% less digestive enzymes for the digestion of your meal. So as you get older and older, that burden on your immune system becomes more and more and more. And that's why you start seeing disease and illness showing up in everybody, literally everybody, by the time they're 38, 42, 45 years old. Because it doesn't take a disease more than a few months to a few years to fully develop into a disease, whether it be cancer, whether it be lupus or some autoimmune disorder or heart disease or gout, a whole bunch of health issues and problems and diseases that plague the human body. But there's only one reason that they all become part of our life as a regular daily basis. That's because we've got a compromised, poor functioning, or totally inhibited immune system functioning capability. So we've got enzymes to keep the bloodstream. We've got sterols to dramatically increase the size and overall efficiency of the functioning of your immune system. We've already got products to address all of this stuff. So that's the first thing. This is all preventable, and which also means it's reversible as well. But the one thing that will always work against each and every one of us is our age. Because you think about this, every 10 years, by the time we're 38 to 42, we're 50% less enzymes, so now our immune system is really heavily engaged in trying to get rid of all of those poorly digested proteins from your meal source, which means it's not going to be available to protect your body as you're reproducing cellularly. So now your body is actually deteriorating in its ability to reproduce new cells that in turn create new enzymes to carry out bodily function, including the digestive process. So the older you get, the harder it is to reverse any of this stuff. And that's the one thing everybody on this phone call should get. The older you get, the harder and less likely it is that you're going to be able to reverse the disease and illness that becomes part of your life. And when you're in your 60s and 70s, you're not going to heal or alleviate anything. You might be able to improve the condition, but you're not going to cure yourself of cancer or anything else. Your immune system is just so weak and tied up at that point, and you don't have the metabolic enzymes to work to keep the efficiency of the overall cellular body functioning. So the time to do it is now. The time to do it is when you're in your 20s and your 30s and your 40s. That's the time that you better understand the human body and start being responsible for what goes on in your life every day, especially your meals. So with that being said, I just want to kind of stay right there, and I'm going to end this on one real, because I want to leave time for questions and answers in this stuff. There's a lot of new people on the line tonight. With that being said, another thing that everybody can do for this coronavirus thing is get a bottle of the colloidal silver. And I don't care whether it's my brand or anybody else's brand. I've got the best colloidal silver produced anywhere. It has such a small particle size, it's literally ionized. 9 billion ions of charged silver are in every single tablespoon of colloidal silver with our product. 9 billion. Singly charged silver ions. So it's the most effective out there because it's so small, it holds a charge for much, much longer than most colloidal silvers on the marketplace. But if you're really that worried about this coronavirus and everything else, just go ahead and take a 6 ounces, which is 6 capsules of mine, and put that into a 32-ounce spray bottle. So you put the 6 ounces of silver in first, and then you fill the rest up with distilled water. Because one of two things are going to happen when you start spraying everything that you sit on, like your couch, your end tables, your fireplace if you have one, your chair, your toilets, your kitchen sinks, your counters, your tables, even your beds, the covers you cover up with, the pillows that you sleep on. Just give a light mist of that 6 ounces and then the 26 ounces of your distilled water, and that's 32 ounces. You make that together, shake it up, and start spraying. And what it does is it clusters the virus. Those silver ions just dramatically attach very easily to those virus proteins. Remember, corona, they have tentacles. So now they're absorbing all these different silver ions, which makes them way too large and too heavy to actually enter the human cell. And that's the way silver will neutralize. It doesn't cure you of anything. It neutralizes the virus's ability to attach and to enter the human cell. And that's the way all colloidal silvers work. And it also adds molecular weight to the actual protein, the virus itself, which will pull it to the ground and it'll fall apart. And so that's kind of the way this all works. And there's things that you can do very easily to protect yourself. You don't have to get into this hysteria. You don't have to worry about running out to some disinfectant. Oh, there are a lot of disinfectants at the store. The alcohol store is completely sold out because alcohol and black velvet and Jack Daniels, you know, you just wash your hands of that stuff. That's the way they used to do it back in the Old West days. And a lot of alcohol stores that sell alcohol, the state liquor stores, their shelves are empty from whiskeys. It's crazy. I mean, everybody has just gone bonkers over this thing. But if you're really out to protect yourself, just those simple little things that I just mentioned, definitely start taking enzymes, definitely start taking the Sterilmax, definitely take probiotics, build that immune system up to a Hercules. Don't make your immune system cells in the bloodstream engage poorly digested meals that you consumed in your daily diet. Do not make your immune system do that. Because when it does that, that's what makes you susceptible to anything and everything in your environment. It would not only kill you, create a disease or illness in your body. And I'm going to leave you with one final statement, because I see way too much of this crap on the internet, and it's crap. Saying take this, do that, and that'll cure this and prevent that. There's only one single thing in the world that is dominantly every second you're alive that has the ability to cure, prevent, or alleviate any disease and illness ever identified by science, medicine, and mankind. And that's your human immune system cell functioning. Products are not going to cure anything. Silver doesn't cure anything. It binds the virus, inhibiting it from entering the human cell. Okay, but your immune system has the ability to destroy anything and everything that is potentially dangerous or harmful to the human body. And that is the only thing that has the ability to cure of what's ailing the body. It's the only thing that has the ability to prevent disease and illness before it actually gets started. Because it's like cancer cells. Most people have cancer cells that are actually being created and developing inside the human body on any given day at any given moment. And yet most people don't have cancer. Because your T lymphocytes actually have enzymes that attach and destroy all cancer cells just as soon as they're being made inside your body. Whether it's oxidation, chemicals, whatever the damage is causing the cancer growth. But your immune system is already designed to do this. So don't out of panic go run into a whole bunch of products that you know nothing about and all these other things. Focus on the things that will benefit the immune system itself, like glucosides. They actually activate 6 different enzymes within T lymphocytes and other immune system cells that regulate how big and large the cell actually becomes. Because a larger immune system cell is going to have a lot more nucleus material to function with on the inside of that membrane. So I just want to leave you all with that, and then I'm going to go ahead and open up for questions, Dover.
Okay. Thank you, Ron. That was awesome. Who has a question for Ron or a comment? Hit star 6 on your keypad, and that will unmute you and come on out and ask your question.
Ron,
who's got the first question?
Coronavirus. You could ask about heart disease, cancer, rheumatoid arthritis. You can ask me about any. This is the health hour. This is the interaction hour part. So go ahead and ask me with your questions.
Yes, Ron. I have a question. This is Annie from Pennsylvania.
Hi there.
Well, I have like three questions that are kind of related.
Okay.
I go to an herbalist who does energy screening to see what's going on in the body, and it shows I have Epstein-Barr and mono. So she gives me something to get rid of it, but I get so weak and tired from taking it, and I feel stressed out and can't sleep well. So she says,
okay, well, first of all, let me back up. What specifically are you taking that's making you tired and stressed out? What is it?
Like herbs, lamation.
What kind of herb?
Berber and cimenta and commanda. I don't know. Are you familiar with those?
Well, first thing I'm going to say is one thing I am is brutally honest with everybody. I am not an herbologist.
Mm-hmm.
So what you just said,
well,
I've never even heard of and don't know much about the herbs or the properties of the herb.
Well,
the one thing I do know, you shouldn't
anything.
Be feeling tired and stressed out whenever you take something, unless it's a sedative, which is designed to slow you down.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do react to anything that makes me detox or even your Sterilmax. And,
okay,
well,
Sterilmax.
He says the reason
Sterilmax.
Is because, yes?
Sterilmax really doesn't detoxify you. What it does is there's specific nutrients that are going to speed up and enlarge your immune system cells so they actually become much stronger, much healthier, much more active as they become to grow larger. And the immune system is going to clean up and detoxify you. But Sterilmax itself isn't going to detoxify anybody because there's nothing there to stimulate a purge of toxins from the body.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't my system just trying to get rid of junk? And I just react to anything like that.
Well, really what you're reacting to is the enzymes that are in the Sterilmax. Because these digestive enzymes I have, everybody wants to claim they have the highest enzyme activity formula in the world, and I've contacted at least three companies over the last 60 days and threatened lawsuits against them. Take it off your website. You guys aren't even close. There's not one single company anywhere in the world on this entire planet that even comes close to Enriching Gifts plant enzyme product.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proud to say that, but that's just a fact. A lot of people want to claim it until they see my website. Here's the facts. Now, when yours can become anywhere near as active, high activity as that, then you can start making claims about how you got a high activity enzyme product. But they don't. Most enzyme products out there in the marketplace are so low in activity, they can't even digest oatmeal, let alone digest a T-bone steak or a Burger King hamburger. That's just a fact. So what you have in the Sterilmax is digestive enzymes and minerals. It's in every single product I produce except for the coral calcium. And that's just a mineral, and I don't want that to be dissolved very quickly. That's not meant to be doing that, so it's not in that product. Otherwise, every single one of my other products have its own digestive element right in the capsule. So that way I don't have to rely on your body being healthy. I don't have to rely on you being able to produce digestive enzymes to digest the contents of my capsules to utilize them at the cellular level. It's already figured right into the capsule. It's already in there. And that's why I say even if you took apart the Sterilmax, took 3 or 4 capsules, put it in a cooked glass of oatmeal, guess what? It's going to digest that oatmeal into water. But it's not the sprout sterols that did that. It's the digestive enzymes, the delivery enzymes, that I put in every product as the delivery system for the contents and the nutrients inside that capsule. So that's what's actually causing your detox is some of the enzymes within the Sterilmax. And if that's the case, then just take less Sterilmax. You're not going to get the immune benefit if you're not taking a minimum of at least 3 to 6. But if your body detoxifies too fast or too heavily because you've got this real high activity enzyme formula in there, then you just have to take less capsule. And
well,
it'll just
really
take you a longer period of time to get to the point to where you can use the 3 or 6 capsules without having a detoxification reaction.
Really, I only took one, and just every other
day. You took that on an empty stomach, right?
Yes.
Okay, so don't take it on an empty stomach. Start taking the digestive enzymes with your meals. Taking one single capsule. How long did you do that for?
Well, I started, was it like September? And I had to gradually build up, very gradually, because I just reacted. But now I like the results very much.
Okay, so I guess I'm confused. So what was your question? Because I thought you couldn't take it because you reacted too much to it.
I just have to start in very slowly, and even then, it seems I just, even with the lowest dose of the sterile max, it just seems it would take its toll on me, just get me down too much. So I'm just wondering.
Well, the sterile max is simply just sprouts. They're fenugreek, they're wheat, they're barley, they're normal grain sprouts. But they're sprouts. They don't even have the full protein developed in them. So there's really nothing in there that your body could really react to. Because like people that are allergic to soy or gluten, those come from the seeds that the plant produces. This is a sprout. The plant's not even produced yet. The seed isn't produced because the plant isn't produced. This is a single blade of grass that has a very unique nutrient called the glucoside. It's a pre-sugar molecule. And it's only found in a sprout. But that glucoside, it activates six different enzymes within your immune system that has tremendous regulatory benefits of that immune system cell, specifically itself. So that's why I'm trying to wrap my head around. Why would you be so sensitive to a sprout when the proteins aren't there? So that's not it. Are you sure that you only take the Sterilmax by itself and you've experienced these reactions, right?
Well,
you don't take it with a whole bunch of other stuff?
I do take some more stuff, but I've seen it over the years that anytime I take something for my immune system or when I'm like house cleaning or the body or anything like that, I just get to the point where I just can't take it. Because it makes me so tired.
I'm just going to make a suggestion.
Yeah.
I would say don't take it with anything else. It should never be taken with anything else anyway. It should be taken only by itself 1 hour before a morning meal or any other kind of nutrient consumption. That's
right.
The only way you're going to benefit your immune system.
Well, the herbalist would say the reason is because my lymphatic system is clogged and sluggish. So she tells me that rebound or exercising will help, which it does to some extent, but it still takes its toll on me. So, well, the first question was like, what's going on when you get such a sluggish lymphatic system or when you react so much to trying to get rid of viruses, fungi,
First of all, you mentioned Epstein-Barr, so there's a tremendous amount of inflammation in your body. That's the first thing. You got chronic inflammation, which slows blood flow, which is going to make you hypersensitive and react to just about anything that goes on, whether your body's trying to do it or whether outside influence is coming in contact with your body trying to do it.
It sounds
so that's the first thing. And then you go back to your lymphatics. The number one reason everybody's lymphatic system becomes plugged up is because your body, that's the drainage, that's your toxicity drainage right below your layers of skin. It's like a little river that all the toxins get thrown into that are actually going to go try to be eliminated because your skin is the largest elimination organ in the human body. The largest organ your body has, skin tissue. But it's also the largest elimination organ you have. Your kidneys and your liver and things like that, those are eliminating organs. They usually break things down and you urinate them out, you have bowel movements, you poop them out. But if the toxicity in the lymphatics is too bad, it's going to push them out through the skin. And that's what psoriasis, eczema, seborrhea, that's what all those skin conditions are all about. Those are all telltale evidence signs of a overloaded, completely polluted lymphatic drainage system. That's what all those diseases are all about, those skin conditions. And where those toxins come from that actually overload and build up in the lymphatic drainage system is they're byproducts from your meal. They're immune complex proteins. Your immune system couldn't get to them. So they got pushed out of the bloodstream where? Into the lymphatic. And when the lymphatic system becomes overloaded and polluted enough, then there's only one place that it can push it from the lymphatics, and that's straight through the skin. And it usually gets trapped because they're so big, because that's why they got pushed in the lymphatics anyway. Because your immune system couldn't break them down, dissolve them to where they could be eliminated any other way. So they get trapped in the skin. As the lymphatics get so overwhelmed, they push it into the skin, gets trapped, and all that bacteria and other stuff that's in the lymphatics. Your lymphatics, by the way, you're going to find more immune system cells of the entire body space in the lymphatic system than you will in the circulating bloodstream. That's how toxic the lymphatic system is. So you push it out to the skin, it gets trapped with all that bacteria and stuff, and that's what creates that severe inflammation and all of that chafing and shaking and cracking of the skin tissue and stuff. Well, there's chronic inflammation. You're seeing it right on your hands or wherever that lymphatic is. I mean, you can have this on your legs, on your back, on your stomach, on your chest, on your tummy. You can have it anywhere. Lymphatics are wherever there's skin tissue, just about 5-6 layers of skin. And right below that, there's a thin little liquid layer of lymph fluid, and that's your lymphatics. So that's how that all gets polluted, is because you don't have enough enzymes to properly digest your meals. And before I go any further, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 25.
So you're young yet.
Yeah.
So who in your family has similar issues? Because this is a genetic link.
Yeah,
you just
right.
Don't have
my
great
mom
digestion.
My mom has symptoms like that.
Okay, there you go.
So
that's where you got it from, too.
It is
too.
Really related.
If it's genetic, then it's not so easily fixed. It's part of your genetic makeup. But
right.
Now, with that being said, you can, once you identify what the problem is, there are ways to compensate for poor genetics. I'm a perfect example of that. I have heart disease everywhere, and yet I have perfect blood pressure, no LDL cholesterol. In fact, my HDL is higher than my LDL. I'm perfect specimen. And I got the crappiest genetics with coronary disease bred from multi-generations, both sides of the parents, all the way up. So just because you have the genetics doesn't mean you have to suffer the disease or the lacking in health quality throughout your life. Once you can identify a problem, you can usually find things that will compensate for that genetic defect or that genetic weakness, I'll call it. So there's where you're at. So you've got it in your genetics. So the first thing I'd tell you is, do you take the digestive enzymes when you eat your meals?
Yes,
the plant enzymes.
I like to do that. I really like the results since I've started it.
Okay.
So that's
well,
the first thing you would.
Time. Don't think that this is all going to happen and change and be all roses in 2-3 months. It's not going to work like that. Because you're even though you're 24, 25 years old, you're young, but yet you got 25 years of toxicity that's just being forced into your body. And so it's going to take you several months and maybe even a year, year and a half to clean this stuff up. Where now, as long as you stay on the enzymes, stay and reduce your meat fleshes, because I'm telling you, it's the muscle tissue meat, the beef, chicken, pork, and turkey are the main culprits that cause all this toxicity in the human body. And this is only going to get worse as you get older and older, so it's important that you really work hard and clean it up now. But it will work for you. And what just based on what you're telling me, because a lot of times when you think about toxicity in the lymphatics, I always go back to, well, there's a lot of damage there, so you need Alloway Smack to repair that damage. Those polysaccharides do wonders for the human body as far as the cellular rehabilitation or recycling of itself. You can actually speed up cellular reproduction by about 2.7 times faster than your body would normally do it on its own. The second thing is the heart algae, because it's got a lot of different living enzymes in that nutrient product that can actually help your body break down foreign proteins, viruses, bacteria, and so on and so forth. It'll actually digest it enzymatically from the natural enzyme nutrition from the heart algae itself or the red algae itself, the astaxanthin. And then, like I said, the digestive enzymes. Maybe right now it's more important for you to clean out your lymphatics and get this inflammation and stuff under control rather than trying to build up an immune system at the same time. I would rather clean your body out first, get a nice clean body that's where you don't have all this inflammation and plugged up lymphatics and Epstein-Barr and chronic fatigue and mono and all that stuff. Yeah, your immune system will eventually get to that, but your immune system is only as good in its efficiency as the bloodstream environment that it has to function within. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. But, like, how many enzymes would you recommend taking? More than three?
You take whatever
meal?
Needed to digest. You've taken many enzymes. You need to digest your protein in your meals. That's the first thing that I'd have to actually encourage everybody to look at is how much protein am I trying to digest in the meal I'm about ready to eat? One of my capsules will only digest about 2 ounces of meat, flesh, muscle, tissue, protein.
How about eggs?
And start slow. Oh, eggs. Eggs are not that heavy of a protein. One capsule will easily digest several eggs.
Like 3 or 4 of them?
Yeah, I wouldn't take more than...
I eat a lot of those because I deal with low blood sugar, and that helps to give me something to, not just quick carbohydrates.
Well, yeah, but if you have low blood sugar, you do need quick carbohydrates because what's going to lower that blood sugar even further is protein. So if you have low blood sugar problems, the last thing you want to be eating is protein. Because protein will use up all the sugar in your... That's what I recommend for a diabetic who has really, really high blood sugar called glucose. Eat a piece of muscle tissue protein. That'll just suck that glucose right out of the bloodstream because your muscle tissues become active now because you got amino acids in the bloodstream from your protein-sourced meal so that when the muscle tissue's receptor open up to use those amino acids, it's going to suck in that blood glucose too because muscle tissue is the most active tissue and consumes the most calories of the entire rest of the body's tissues all put together. Like the muscle tissues, the quadriceps between your knees and your thighs, those two muscles right there below your buttocks and right above your knees, those two muscles burn more calories than the entire human body all put together. When they become activated and you're actually using that muscle tissue, they'll consume and metabolize more calories and the rest of the entire body's muscle tissue and organ tissue, connective tissue, soft tissue, the rest of the entire tissue put together. That's why it's really important to understand what is it in your body that actually causes and metabolizes the most calories. Because if you're trying to lose weight, you want to support something that's going to burn all those calories, which is let's go out and build some muscle tissue. You build enough muscle tissue, you'd never have to worry about what you're eating. Because you got so much muscle tissue, it's going to metabolize every bit of calories you put in your body, regardless of where those calories come from.
So, meat
so let's back up to get specific with your question. So meat is the last thing you should be eating, or heavy protein is the last thing you should be eating if you have low blood sugars or you're hypoglycemic.
So protein isn't really something to help stabilize it?
No, it's going to make it worse.
Mm.
Who told you to eat protein if you're hypoglycemic or low sugar? Who told you to do that?
Well, the doctor that I work with or the herbalist.
You know what? I'm just going to say something. I don't want to hear any more. Get a damn different doctor. That's an idiot. That is a person that doesn't know the first thing about what the heck they're talking about, and he sure as heck doesn't know the human body. That is crazy. And that has nothing to do with herbs. So find a different doctor. That's the first thing I'd tell you. And if he wants to talk to me, you have him get his butt on the phone, and I'll chew him out rather than you. Because that's the most stupid, idiotic thing I've ever heard in my life. Protein is only going to sit there and suck what you're already low in, which is sugar. It's just going to suck and use up every single bit of those calories. So what are you stabilizing? You're not stabilizing anything. You're creating a worse condition. You're going to even go lower in sugar content, and that can kill people. You can literally die from too low a blood sugar. Diabetics do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that being said, I'm going to calm down. I don't mean to yell at you. I'm very passionate.
I understand.
But when I hear stupid stuff like this, it really angers the heck out of me because people's lives are at risk when you start doing stupid stuff like that. And that's crazy to do stuff like that. If you're low in sugar, you find the fastest way that your body can get sugar into it to elevate blood glucose or sugar in the blood. That's what stabilizes low blood sugar, is more sugar, not protein that's going to metabolize every bit you got and then some. So that's the proper way to do that, first of all. And that might even be contributing factors to some of this reactionary stuff that you're having that you're so sensitive to. Because there's an underlying thing that just doesn't go add up the way you're doing it. And you're not a diabetic, are you?
Not that I know of.
You're a hypoglycemic?
That's what I would say.
Yeah, well, have you ever done the glucose stick to see whether you're one or the other?
No, I didn't really.
That'll tell
I
you
just
exactly where your blood glucose levels are at. And it's very inexpensive. It's a needle and it's a little stick, and you can probably do several months' worth for about $50. You can get that at any Walmart store pharmacy.
I might try that.
I would really encourage you to try this.
Okay.
Because who you're listening to is not helping you out at all. I can tell you that right now. Epstein-Barr is associated with mono. It's called chronic fatigue syndrome. Epstein-Barr is a virus that causes chronic fatigue because of the inflammation process that it generally creates, and it's chronic.
Right.
That's why you're always so tired, because there's severe inflammation, and even your adrenals become compromised because
right.
of the virus itself.
Right.
So, again, you build up the immune system, it eats up the virus, and your chronic fatigue is gone. But that's we got to do step one, step two, step three, step four systematically so your body doesn't become so imbalanced that it doesn't function right and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But is this making sense to you?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So when you speak about building and maintaining the immune system, what does it take to do that?
Well, like I said, let's not worry about that right now. Let's first of all get your capsules and your digestive enzymes so your body can start functioning properly again, and make sure that we're not taking too many enzymes, that we're actually initiating a heavy detoxification process. Because I'm telling you, once you get your enzymes for your digestion straightened out, then you're not having your immune system compromised in the bloodstream. That alone is going to start functioning more efficiently just with the immune system you have. And then once your bloodstream gets cleaned out, now we can go ahead and your lymphatics gets all cleaned out. Now we can start enlarging, creating that Hercules immune system. But I don't want to try to do that while you still have all this toxicity in your lymphatics, in your digestion, your meals, and all this other stuff, this inflammation, still have a lot of that. So we got to back up. Let's not worry about the immune system. Let's get your meals digested properly, get your bloodstream cleaned up, and let's do that for a few months. And whatever your immune system is capable of doing, it'll help to start to clean out the lymphatic system. And then we can worry about enlarging your immune system a little bit later. But that's not something I want to focus on with you right now. I'd just soon start with the enzymes, start with the probiotics, and the Aloase Max and the Heart Algae. Those are the four that I would start out with. Because
like
there's a lot of damaged tissue that needs to be healed. And the more tissue we have that's healed and functioning properly, the better this whole system is going to come together for you.
So, like how much of each, like the Heart Algae?
Well, the Heart Algae, you just start just like normal. You just take one in the morning, one in the evening. You can take it with or without the meals. Same way with the Aloase Max. Just start out with one, and then one in the morning, one in the evening with your meals or without your meals. Doesn't matter. Probiotics and the digestive enzyme, the plant enzyme, those have to be taken with your meal. Just before you start chewing your food, never after, never during. You swallow a couple capsules or one capsule, and then you just start eating your food immediately after you swallow a capsule.
So you wouldn't really recommend that I take any enzymes between meals?
No. That's going to kick up your detoxification stuff.
Okay.
Just literally take an enzyme with your morning meal. Do that for a week. I don't want to deal with this. Let's just start from the very beginning. Like everybody else is
listening
on the phone call.
I'm already off to a meal.
Okay, well, maybe two is too much. Maybe you went up too fast.
Well, I've started already in September.
I've done that very slowly. But you started last September, right?
Yes.
Okay, so stay on the two per meal and just focus on that for a little bit. And then, like I said, add in the probiotics. Do you take probiotics?
Yes, I do.
And how many of those do you take every meal?
Oh, well, I don't take yours, but it's another brand. I might just start using yours.
Anybody's, whether it's mine or anybody else's. How many do you take each meal? Or do you just take one a day?
Yeah, I do. I just take them in the evening.
No. Probiotics should be taken with your meal. And if they're formulated properly, the reason you take them with your meal, because your meal actually gets them way deep into the smaller intestine and back in towards the entry of the large intestine. If you don't take them with a meal, they're just going to sit there in the acid stomach. So, like I said, if they're properly formulated, they're designed and should be taken with your meals, not in the evenings when there's nothing going on. So that's the second thing. You've probably been doing that incorrectly. That's why a lot of people don't get the results they're always looking for. It's not really the quality of the product that's so bad that they're taking. They're just not taking them correctly. Nobody's ever taken the time to explain how all of this stuff works at the finite details. And the details are important when it comes to understanding the human body and its needs and its processes. So that's what I would just start out taking the probiotics and the enzymes with your meals. Do that for a week or two, and then get back on this call, and we can continue this a little bit later.
Okay, thank you, Ron.
It is a process. Yep, it is a process, but we'll get you through it, I promise. Anybody else got a last-minute question, comment, anybody?
Ron, this is Ronnie in Texas.
Yeah, hey, buddy.
Hey, I got a colonoscopy coming up in May. And I basically take all your products. What should I back off of that may would cause my blood to be thinner, or is there anything that I should be concerned about?
Well, when exactly in May is this that you're doing this?
May the 10th.
Okay, so probably the 1st of May, I would stop taking the digestive enzymes if you're worried about any kind of bleeding. And sometimes there is a little bit of worry there with that kind of procedure. The vitamins and all that other stuff, the sterile mat, you don't have to stop any of that. But I would discontinue the digestive enzyme because those actually have enough enzymes in them to actually thin the blood, which is going to increase bleeding. So that I would stop taking. Anything else you're taking, it's not going to compromise that kind of a procedure.
Okay. So about 10 days before, then. Okay.
Yep, I would. 7 to 10 days before, I usually tell people a week before you do that stuff, just totally stop them.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you.
All right, you betcha. Anybody else have any questions, comments for the call? Anybody? Real quick. Going once, going twice. We're done. All right, I want to thank everybody that came on the call tonight. I really appreciate it. I'm sorry I get emotional. I'm very committed to this, and it just drives me nuts once in a while, so I apologize for getting a little passionate tonight. But everybody does need to hear the facts. So I appreciate everybody for coming on the call tonight, and stay safe, because this coronavirus thing, it does have a little bit more capability of infecting you. But don't buy into the hysteria that you're seeing everywhere on national television, because that's just hyping a lot of ratings and a whole bunch of other stuff other than, are you really at risk of dying from this thing? Just the numbers, sheer numbers, when you compare them last 10-year average for influenza versus what I'm seeing nationally all over the world tonight, the answer is no. It's really not that big of a deal. So, all right, thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next week.